The following message is from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. For more information about us, visit livingwatersmn.org.
Father, I thank you for this time, Father. Father, this Father's Day. Father, give me the words you want me to speak, Father. Father, there's a well within me, Father. Let it come out, Lord. Lord, I'm believing that people are going to be touched, transformed, healed, set free during this time, not because of you, not because of me, because of you, Father, because of who you are. Thank you, Father. In 1993, my earthly father died. And I don't know why I'm saying this, but maybe it's for someone here. But I remember when my earthly father died, I looked to heaven and said, okay, my earthly father's gone. Father, you are now my daddy. And you are, now he already was my father, but there was something that happened then, and a fresh commitment, a fresh outpouring. And, you know, in that journey, the journey I've had the last so many years with God, that's what I kind of want to talk about. I feel like God is having me lay foundations for revival. Simple messages. You know, one of the last messages I gave here was how Jesus says, ask. Ask and you will receive. He says that 13 times. I'm just going to review that last message a little bit. He says in the New Testament, 13 times he says, ask and you will receive. 13 times. He's really saying something. And when I say foundations for revival, when God starts to move, you're going to be amazed. You're probably amazed already. When God starts to move, there are certain scriptures that maybe didn't seem like they ever worked for us. You know, just you know, I've asked before and I didn't get it. Or I've asked for this salvation, this soul, and I'd never seen God move. But when God starts to move, it's just different. It is just different. You can't, your worst enemy is going to be your past. Your worst enemy will be your past. You've got to, you know, there's, let me show you a scripture, Philippians 3, now I'll find scripture, I don't have the little tabs. I haven't looked in Philippians for a little bit. Anyway, it goes Colossians. Tell me where Philippians is. Oh, there it is. Yeah, that's all right. Real close. Brethren, 3:13. Philippians 3:13. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. As God starts to move, you need to forget the past. I'm just telling you. That's why one of the foundations I talked about was asking. When God starts to move, you'll ask and you'll see God move right now. I had a call this week. I'll just give you an example. I had a call this week from a guy I've known for many years. People have prayed for him for years and years and years. And he called me and said, Ken, I need to meet with you right away. I'd like to meet with you. Do you have time or whatever? And I said, yeah, sure. Yeah, known him for a long time. Had connected with him for a while. But as we met, and he broke up a little bit on the phone, I'm like, what's going on, you know? And this is a guy that went to church, okay, but maybe didn't cash it all in for Jesus the way he should. And so we met, and he said, I've been crying for 3 days. For 3 days, I've seen my sinfulness. I've seen my condition of my soul, and it just broke him up. I mean, that's just, you know, we fall on a rock, Jesus Christ. We fall on a rock when we need God. But sometimes the rock falls on us. This is what I'm talking about in revival. And, you know, all of a sudden, God's moving. God's moving. And Carrie and I we were with another couple. And I'm picking something up in the spirit realm. And something this person's been struggling with for years. For years. And I mean, I'm just, you know, I'm pretty relaxed. And I'm not being spiritual. You know, and I keep picking this up. We're in a restaurant. I'm like, God, what? I go to the bathroom. So if I'm with you and I got to go to the bathroom right away, I'm usually like, what's going on? You know? So I went to the bathroom like, Lord, what's going on? And it's like the Lord's like impressing me. He wants to do deliverance. It's like, we're just out. I hardly know these people. I felt it was really uncomfortable. I'll just tell you that right now. But see, God is starting to move. Okay? So forget about the past. I mean, I went out thousands of times and never had God move. And all of a sudden, we're at the table. I've just asked her, well, I'm picking this up. And she kind of confirmed it. She said something. And there's a couple. And I said, well, this is what I'm getting. And we just moved right at the restaurant up north. We said, well, can I pray for you? And we just started having a deliverance session at a restaurant. Praise God, there's no manifestations. Hallelujah. So, you know, this is the season we're moving into. We got to believe for that. So, and your worst enemy is going to be your past. Hallelujah. So here's what I want to talk about today. I just feel another foundation, and Nathan, wherever you're sitting right now, really, there he is, really confirmed it for me. You confirmed it. Thank you. And Luke's testimony, prophecy kind of touched on it too. I saw some confirmations. A very simple message. Sometimes the best message I can share with you is my own walk. This is going to be a really simple, well, it's going to be deep though. Let me just kind of tell my own story, and then I'll move into it. When I came to the Lord, a few years after I came to the Lord, I met with some guys, Casey Foster and Mel Beaudry. We started praying together. And Mel Beaudry had this scripture, and he kept quoting it. And you know how, you ever have someone do that? They quote a scripture, just kind of all of a sudden it's yours too. You know, and I memorized it. And it was Hebrews 12:2. And Hebrews 12:2 says in the Knox translation, Darby translation, or Living translation. I'll read it to you in New King James. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. That's it. Just that part right there. The author, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. In the Knox, Darby, and Living translation, it says, keeping your eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith. Keeping your eyes fixed. I grabbed a hold of that scripture, and that became a life scripture. That's what I'm going to talk about today. Jesus Christ. I'm going to talk about the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the just one, holy one, Lamb of God. The one that who is our beginning and end. He's the author and finisher of our faith. The one we must keep our eyes on. If you want, this is actually a Father's Love Conference, because if you want the fullness of the love of the Father, it must start with Jesus Christ. It's the very foundation of our faith. And I'm just going to share some things, some revelation, some things I've seen. Just share a few scriptures. I took a few scriptures in the Bible, and I saw them as absolute truth and transformed my life. And I kept focusing on them. So Hebrews 12:2 is the first one. So as things would happen, as temptations would come, as you'd slip and fall, you know, as whatever would come in my life through the late 80s and 90s, I kept my eyes fixed on Jesus. I kept saying, I keep my eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and perfecter of my faith. I keep my eyes fixed on Jesus. So why is that so important? Let's go there. So that was one of the first scriptures. Let's go to Colossians. If you've got your Bibles, just kind of follow with me here. Shoot. Oh, good, I found this one. Colossians 1:15. Now, this scripture came later. This came in the 90s. The 90s was my Jesus decade where I... And it's still, of course, I'm still in Jesus, but, you know, well, I'll get into it. I'm jumping ahead. But in the 90s, this scripture really came alive for me. Colossians 1:15. It says, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are earth, visible or invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities, powers. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, and in all things he may have the preeminence. Now, they're talking about Jesus here. I'm going to go back and I'm going to read that again. I'm going to put, instead of he, I'm going to put the name Jesus here. Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by Jesus, all things were created that are in heaven and are on earth, visible or invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through Jesus and for Jesus. And he and Jesus is before all things. And in Jesus, all things consist. And Jesus is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. And in all things, Jesus may have the preeminence. So in other words, if we really take this for what we believe it is, you were created, Jesus, for by him you were, for by Jesus you were created, and for by Jesus you exist. Think about that. Think about that. And Jesus is before all things, and in Jesus all things consist, verse 17. You are created for him, by him, and through him, and because of him you exist. Because of Jesus. Thank God he loves us. It's through him. The Father chose to give the Son everything. He is the way. That's why when he says these things, I'm the way to the Father, he really, really means it. And if we passionately and fall in love with Jesus Christ, he cannot help but give us to the Father. He cannot but help it. It's his nature to give us to the Father. That's the way to the Father, is a passionate love. And I'm going to just go over there, how this all kind of fits together. I'll get there. I want to read you another scripture. Ha ha. This was another scripture that was the foundation for me. I get up here. I get a little silly, and I can't find scriptures. Where am I going? John 14. Whew. John 14:21. It says, John 14:21 says, he who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. This is Jesus speaking. It's in red in my Bible. He who has my commandments and keeps them is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and manifest myself to him. Now, the first time I read that, in the late 80s, I had this little daily devotional. And I remember reading that. I'm thinking, well, if that's true, wow, do I have a life ahead of me? He says, he who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. He'll manifest himself. I just walked around for days going, he'll manifest himself to me. He promised it. He's going to manifest himself to me. I mean, I maybe went for years. I don't know. It went for a long time. I just remember looking at that scripture, looking at that scripture, looking at that scripture. He will manifest himself to me. It's a promise. Yeah, it goes on. Verse 22. Judas, not the Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him. And he will come to him and make our home with him. And my Father will love him. And we will come to him and make our home with him. You see what I'm showing? Jesus saying, you fall passionately crazy in love with me, and God the Father is going to be all over you. You fall crazy, passionate in love with me, and I'm going to give you to the Father. I'm going to bring you to the Father. Hallelujah. This is the very foundation. So, okay, I know what you're thinking. You're all reading this going, yeah, what's the commandment, though? It says, I got to keep some commandments. It's, you know, that's because I used to look at that going, well, I may never get there, okay? He who keeps my commandments, he who has my, verse 21 again, he who has my commandments to keep them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. So what is that commandment? You may want to know. Let's go to 13:34. John 13:34. I'm moving so fast, let's wait a little bit in case for those who have your Bibles. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. That's the commandment, folks. If we love and are chasing after Jesus, passion, love of Jesus, he's going to be all over us. Whew, man, it's exciting. Okay. Now, I think it was Phineas Dake said, well, I like to see something before I make a doctrine, see something three times in a Bible or something like that. I like to at least see something twice, but three times is good. And I didn't realize Jesus telling us to love one another is just all over this gospel. In John 15:17, these things I command you, that you love one another. Oh, I'll go to 16. That's so good. This whole thing is just really good. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another. Hallelujah. First, I'm going to read 16:27. For the Father himself loves you because you have loved me. Can I read that again? John 16:27. For the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came forth from the Father. Whew, that's good. There is one more time he said, love, 15:17. Did I read that one yet? Yeah, I think I did. 15:12. Maybe I didn't read 15:12. This is my commandment. I read 13. Also 15:12, and it was three times. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. So what I have seen, let me just share this. What I have seen, and I'm going to go back to love in a second. What I have seen is, in my walk with the Lord, it's like a toggle switch. I'm just sharing my story. And if anyone can grab a hold of it, helps you, great. What I've seen in my, you know, I'm trying to get to know the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit's a person. Jesus is a person. God's a person. They're all God, but they're three different persons, three different personalities. And Jesus is the very core of that. And what I've seen in my walk is I'll fall passion and love of Jesus. And I just go that route for a while. It might be at 3 days. You know, I'm talking to Jesus. I'm thinking about Jesus. I'm thinking about, I don't know, whatever. I have my eyes on him. And then all of a sudden, it's like a switch. I feel this happen. And all of a sudden, my heart goes to the Father. And it could be a month. It could be 2 months. I don't want to put a time on it. I don't keep track of time. It's just where I walk. that all of a sudden I had this incredible love for God the Father. It's like I'm looking through the whole Bible, getting pictures of God the Father. There's only a few that really show what he looks like. And I'm dreaming of going to the throne. The Bible says, boldly go to the throne of grace in a time of need. We're seated in the heavenly, in Ephesians. I encourage you, read Ephesians over and over. We're seated in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So that's where I go. I start envisioning myself with the Father, at the Father's throne. I'll just tell you a quick story. So I always envision myself, and whether it's a true vision or I don't know. I think about, imagine myself, and sometimes it's vision, and sometimes it's just faith imagination. I imagine myself being at the Father's throne, being next to him, you know, just kneeling before him, just being around the Father's throne, being, you know, just what would it look like? I mean, it's loud. It is not quiet. Like, it's loud. There's thunder. There's angels. They're going, holy, holy, holy. They're falling down over here. I mean, it's a wild place. I'm trying to grasp that place. So I remember I was just pondering that one time, and my friend Chuck Ripka said he had a vision, and he went to the Father's throne, and he sat on the Father's lap. I thought, man, my mind never even went there before. Graham Cook? Yeah, Graham Cook, if you've watched on YouTube, talks about a dream he had where he went and sat on the Father's lap. I'm like, oh, wow. You know, I didn't even have a place for that in my mind, to sit on God the Father's lap. So that's where I'm now. I'm like, and it's hard. I mean, that's like, he's so incredible, but that's the love of the Father. Jesus will take us there. He will take us to the love of the Father. He'll put our hearts to the love of the Father. So there's where I go. Then I'm just enthralled in the love of the Father. But when there's a time, whether it's after a week or a month or six, whatever that time, we're in the eternity, we're in the spirit realm. Whatever that time is, if I feel the Father, if I feel like if there's a distancing, you know, you get up and you just felt like you backslid 10 miles, you know, or like all hell's coming against you and you just, the love of God is gone and you feel whatever. I turn back to Jesus and I passionately chase Jesus until that love for the Father comes. Now, I pray to the Father. But this is just where I'm just navigating this thing. Because according to the Word of God, okay? According to the Word of God, I keep my eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and perfecter of my faith. He's the author. He perfects me. Jesus says, you will know the love of the Father in me. So that's how I navigate. And this morning, I was kind of all over. I started out Jesus, ended up the Father, and now with Jesus. It's who we keep our eyes fixed on. And Jesus promised he'll bring you to the Father. He'll manifest himself to you, and they'll come and make their home in you. It's an amazing promise. You get a hold of this. I mean, I'm thinking, man, I need a lot of time. This takes a lifetime just to continue to get to know him. And in the Holy Spirit, I feel like I just started. I mean, it's just like, even though I operate with him, I feel like I hardly even know him yet. So it's just amazing. Just amazing. But let's go back to love. So I want to touch that a little bit. Because this was another scripture, and this is a little later in my walk, where, okay, we've got this commandment. Whoa. There's something happening here today. So people are being set free. Oh, I don't know what's happening. I could feel it. Thank you. Just receive. Maybe some father wounds are being healed or something. I don't know. Lord, do it. Just keep doing it. Whatever you're doing. Okay. The bartender's never supposed to get drunk. He's supposed to keep giving it out, right? So I don't even know where that came from. I can't believe I just said that. Okay. Oh, is that recorded? Yeah. I'm talking about the new wine, by the way. Okay. Okay, anyway. 1 Corinthians 13. Wow. This is that new commandment that Jesus gave us. I'm going back to that again. Whew. You know, this word changes you. It's just so amazing. Remember when I came to you last night and I said, I'm sorry I was so short? You know, and I said, you know, we're doing house stuff yesterday, and I'm a real go, 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 and they're doing house stuff, you know, get out of my way type of thing. And I was a little short with her, you know, and it's last night I picked up this word and I read this scripture. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself and is not puffed up. Love does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked. It thinks no evil. This is the commandment that Jesus has given us, guys. This is our life with one another, okay? And I lost my place. Love does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil. Love does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. And I'll give credit where credit is due. Kenneth Hagin, I was listening to a talk by him one time, and he talked about how he meditates on this scripture. So I started doing it. I started meditating on this scripture. My, will this word transform your life? And do it in different translations, because there's some translations go a little deeper. But this is New King James. So I read this last night. Instantly, I'm convicted. Instantly. It's just like the movie screen. You know, if God could take if our minds were up on a movie screen, our thoughts, our judgments, and everything we think during the day, what would it look like? Do we walk in love? I speak for myself. I mean, it's... Like I said, I need a lot of time, you know, to work on this. But so I read this last night, and right away, I'm like, oh, I have not. So I went right to my wife and go, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I was short with you. And I don't remember what I said, but she goes, oh, you're forgiven. But Jesus says, I give you a new commandment, love one another. Sometimes I'm a little taken back. I'll just be transparent. Us in the body of Christ, how we lack love sometimes. I hear stories, or I have something happen to me, or whatever it is, and you're just like, okay. Now, I fall short too. We all fall short of the glory of God, so don't get me wrong, but I mean, we need this. If we're going to see revival, and revival... I mean, there's a conviction of the Holy Spirit that brings love. The love of God is born in our hearts. You know, that rises up within us, but it's the Word of God that'll keep us on that path. This Word will transform us. The Word of God is sharper than a double-edged sword, able to penetrate between the bone and the marrow. The Spirit and the... Who knows that scripture? Hebrews 4:12. Yeah, dividing soul and spirit, bone and marrow. So it's sharp. It's sharp. Whew. Ha. Okay. Love never fails. You know, can I share about you, Jacob? Sure. There was a time in our lives, Jacob and I, that we weren't getting along real well. Can I say that? Yeah. Can I say that you were breaking some rules? Yeah. And, you know, he was at our house, and he was breaking every rule you could possibly ever imagine. If we made a rule, you might as well just figure he's going to break it. Okay? It's true? Okay. That's as far as I'll go. So anyway, and every probably counselor would have said, you need to kick him out. He's messing up your life. You know, he's breaking rules. He needs to be out on his own. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, you know? I could just give you a whole laundry list of why he should have been out of the house. And he probably was thinking, amazing they haven't kicked me out. But that's where we got to hear from the Lord. And I had this word in me. This word was alive and active and in me. So I'm praying one day, Lord, I just can't. The kid is just, we set a curfew, forget it. He shuts his phone off to make sure I can't get a hold of him. I'm up at night, you know, we're arguing, there's stress in our relationship. He's not a teenager, he's 20 at least, okay? And the Lord just spoke one word to me. Love never fails. Love never fails. I think I'd crack up over that. So I hung on to that word. Okay, I am going to love that kid. Shouldn't have went there. That's what we were talking a lot, remember? Okay, we got to talk, Jake. We got to talk. You know, I just kept talking and communicating and communicating and communicating. We kept praying for him and praying for him and praying for him. And yeah, love, this word does not fail. Amen. The love of God does not fail. And all of a sudden, one day, he changed. He changed a few times. He'd kind of go back. But one day, it stuck. It stuck for good. Yeah, 2 years longer than I wanted to go, I'll tell you that. But this, folks, if you could just see where I'm going, it starts with loving one another. The commandment, Jesus gave it to us 3 times. Love one another. Whew. I feel like I preach to myself. Because it's there's always, you may be sitting there going, you feel like you're just so far from this. Well, it's a constant renewal. It's constant. I mean, after a week of work, you know, being with people, I mean, you just got to get in there and get refreshed by the Word of God. Okay, so let me go back to, and I'm just going to kind of close, take a few minutes with my walk with the Lord. So, I said before, sometimes I feel that distancing. And Finney taught me this, Charles Finney. I read some of his stuff. You know, so many times we sin. And I know there's different theologies, different people believe that, you know, you just there's a constant cleansing. Well, I don't know. I know I need, you know, I stick according to 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. See, as I'm speaking here, I want you to understand something. I believe that I'm holy and righteous. I believe that standing here right now, I am white. You could believe what you want, but the Word of God says, he who knew no sin, this is 1 Corinthians 5:21. He who knew no sin became sin for me, so that I could become the very righteousness of God in him. So if I'm keeping my eyes fixed on Jesus, and if there's offenses in my life that I'm committing, if someone's offended me, you know, I got to forgive them. Or whatever, or if I miss that mark and do something, screw up. If I confess my sin, he's faithful and just to forgive my sins and cleanse me of all unrighteousness. When I first came to the Lord, I was getting these revelations about the blood of Jesus, about forgiveness in the late 80s. And I'd get these visions all the time. I went through a season of visions, dramatic. To this day, I'm not totally sure why God did that. But I believe it's because of the anchor of Christ in me, the anchor of forgiveness, the anchor of knowing the righteousness of Christ in me. I'd be places and I'd see someone, would be in a group and someone would repent and I'd see the blood of Jesus come in the spirit realm. I'd see a flow of blood come and cleanse them right before my eyes. I was in a place one time, it was a whole big meeting, I saw blood of Jesus coming like rain. The blood of Jesus is a supernatural force. When Jesus gave the blood in his body through, it says in Hebrews 9, he gave it through the eternal Spirit. When he did it through the Holy Spirit, it became infinite. It became infinite. Forever and ever, we're forgiven. We just got to humble ourselves and ask. And forever and ever, there's nothing you can do. There's nothing you can do so bad that you can't be forgiven by Jesus. And you will be white now. It's not in the future. It's now. It's now, folks. It's now. That's the only way I can minister. It's the only way you can stand against the powers of darkness in victory. Is know you're white, to know you're blood-bought, to know you have that authority in Christ, to know that you can come before the very throne of God in a time of need and receive from him. Oh, shubabaka. So I had this season of I just saw the blood of Jesus. It's infinite. It's cleansing. So I know, Finney taught, go back to what Finney taught me was when you're walking and God starts to seem distancing, or even Jesus, and there's a distancing. Get on your knees and just seek the Lord. What, Lord? What? What is it? Show me my sin. Show me pride. I tell you, pride, I just deal with pride all the time. And it's not even outward. It's prideful thoughts. We have thoughts of building ourselves up or whatever that is. It's a constantly humbling. The Bible says that God gives grace to the humble. He gives grace to the humble. So I'm constantly, not constantly, but it seems like it sometimes, but here and there, I'm on my knees. God, what? Lord, did I miss it? What, Lord, how come you feel so distant from me right now? What? Now, I'll do that if I don't get nothing. If I think of some things, but if he still feels distant, then I just run after Jesus. I just run after Jesus with everything I have. And if it takes a week, you've got to have that faith that Jesus is your all in all. That Jesus will manifest himself in your life again, and he'll bring you to the Father. See, part of this is faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. But faith believes. Faith believes that if you're running after Jesus, he's going to manifest. You could believe the word that he's going to manifest. He's going to manifest, and your heart's going to come alive. Folks, I started off, I used to get so frustrated 25, 30 years ago. I'd get these touches from God, and 2 weeks later, I was like, I could lay hands on someone, it was like a cold ice cube, So, I went through it, okay? There's lots of bondages, just stuff, and it's like the enemy had me all tied up. So, I'm not this guy that got landed on and I went like a rocket. No, I slugged it out. I believed the word, and I kept going after it. Kept my eyes fixed on Jesus, kept running after him. Yeah, and there's a grace. There's a grace to have that, that drive just to keep pressing in. Keep pressing in. But I want to give you a couple more things. Some things we don't talk about much in the church sometimes. Okay. Repentance. Just try to time this out. Song of Solomon. I've shared that here before. That is a key book in the Bible for me, the Song of Solomon. That's the bride. See, so not only, and I've shared that here before, but for someone that hasn't been here, my wife gave me this ring. I lost my original wedding ring. I still don't know how. But I had seen this ring in a vision before my wife ever gave it to me. It's probably the clearest vision of something I ever had coming. This ring has a little cross and a dove. And I saw this in a ring, and I saw Jesus putting this ring on my finger. So I'm married to the Lamb. I understand that. I don't see myself as a white bride, okay, with a white gown. If he wants me to dress that way, I will. For you women, that's really good. But I see myself as a soldier of Christ. It's kind of like he's we're buddies, we're buds. You know that military camaraderie. We're intimate. We're buds. When he rides, when he goes out on his horse, I'm right beside him on my horse. Let's go, Lord. Let's go. Okay, there's an intimacy, and so I read a lot of times a Song of Solomon, And that could be hard for guys, but so where it says about the Shunammite woman, that's us, and the beloved is Jesus. I just think it's really important to the foundation of our faith. That's why I mention it. That the Lord took me through 10 years of that, of just really understanding my place as a bride, to just, you know, just the bedrock of who He is. Got through that, praise God. That was hard to do for a guy. But anyway, and then I'm just going to close. The other thing is this. I don't know how many times I've read the Bible. I am a regular Bible reader. And you could walk away and say, well, Ken's preaching lots of rules and law. No, I'm just showing you tools. To be a disciple of Jesus Christ, if you go back to the Greek, it means disciplined one. Okay? And we can get so far into freedom that we do away with disciplines. Okay? And I've been there. And it's just wonderful. But then I get beat up by the enemy. You know? Why? Because I'm not applying the blood of Jesus. I'm not taking authority over situations. I'm not the soldier, the bride I'm called to be. When I get to that point where I'm not walking in that brideship, when I'm not walking in that armor, when I'm not walking in the disciplines, I can get whacked. And I was in the river. And all of a sudden, I mean, you know, just worshiping. But I'm called to be disciplined. I'm called to be going forward. I'm called to be breaking new ground. So I've just learned these things. There's disciplines that we're called to do. And one of the disciplines is reading the Word of God. I actually get dreams. If I let this go, I will get a warning dreams from the Lord. And I will show in the dream, I've had this dream. I got so sick, I could not figure this dream out. You know, and I'd get this dream and it'd drive me crazy. And what would happen in the dream, there'd be, oh, it's different. It was one time it was a bear. Another time it was a monster. There'd be something coming at me and have a gun. And I'd point the gun. And either the gun wouldn't work or the gun was apart or is different. Like I said, I've had it at least a half a dozen times. And the dream drove me crazy. And I'd come to realize if this word has to be living within me. And then my guns fire good. Yeah. Yeah, I had a dream one time where I popped the enemy. Oh, that was a good drive. I woke up. Yeah, God. Yeah, you got to give me one of them once in a while. Okay? So, but anyway, so and that could be a struggle. And it could be a struggle. You could make it religious. It could get to be a religious. So it's all these things I'm talking about. We can get so religious and get so legalistic. And that's the things. There is the challenge I'm sorry, the Lord just showed me something. So there is a challenge to break that. And sometimes if you study a word like love, you know, doing word studies, that helps. I'm a disciplined reader. I like to read 2 chapters of the Old Testament, 2 chapters of the New Testament, 3 or 4 Psalms and 1 Proverb every day. I've done that for a lot of years, and I quit doing it. I'm going back to it. And that way, you get through the Old Testament once a year, New Testament 3 times a year, and Psalms about every 30, 40 days, and Proverbs once. But that's hard. That takes time. You know, the walking in the Lord, having that life in Christ, it's a four-letter word, time. It takes time. It takes time. I want to finish with one thing. I felt the Lord wanted me to I wasn't even going to bring it up. But I've got to be honest here, and I've got to be truthful. One of the things I have found that does something inside of me, it just like brings more love up in me, is communion. You know, sometimes we have a little different beliefs. I believe when I receive communion, I'm receiving the body and blood of Christ. I'm receiving something spiritual, a spiritual food and a spiritual drink. And I have found my walk, and I've never shared this, I don't think I've ever shared this before anywhere, but I have found in my walk regular communion. I have communion, Carrie and I have communion together a lot of times. and we have communion at home, and it does something with the level of love in my heart. Catholics got it right. I saw it. Yeah, the Catholics got it right. I mean, you could make it legalistic, so that's why I don't do it every day. I maybe go for 3-4 days, but this morning I had communion. I want all of Jesus in me today. Smith Wigglesworth said, they said he used to take communion every day. So now I know there's lots of different theologies and what is what and da da da. I ask God to make it his body and blood, to make it spiritual food and drink, and he does it. And I'm doing it in memory of him. I quote the scriptures. And all I know is I see a difference in my love level. There's just, it stirs something up within me. So that's my story. And that's my walk. And I hope that you guys can grab a hold of this. And we'll just, let's all run a race, because these are foundations, because there's a mighty move of God about to come upon us. I don't know if it's this year, next year. I feel like it's kind of already started. People are coming to the Lord. Oh, by the way, we are doing a baptism next Sunday at Orno Lake. Fred is going to be baptized, and anyone else that wants to join us, feel free to join us. I think there may be some other people, but I talked to Dave about it. We're to the point where when people are coming to the Lord and having that relationship, we need to be out baptizing. Carrie and I have a hot tub that's been sitting, how long has it been sitting empty? For 3 years. They're like having a pet. You got to take care of those things, you know. And I'm sorry, I love pets. Okay, don't take that wrong. But I just don't want to take care of a hot tub. But we're going to get that thing fired up, and 12 months out of the year, we're going to have baptism at our house. Okay? So we're coming that season where I'm believing people are going to be coming to the Lord. Amen? Okay. So if you want prayer, there's some prayer teams that are going to come up here. Henry, do you want to say anything in closing?
You're doing good.
I'm doing good. Okay. There's some prayer. Come on up, prayer teams. I don't see them. There they are. Come on up. This is Leslie and Henry. But if you need prayer for anything, come on up. And have a blessed Father's Day. Amen.